Thank you, Ray, for that children's story. Thank you for the feather. That's a really beautiful reminder. We have a very interesting topic to talk about, the Sabbath. And as I get this on the screen, hopefully we are good to go. While we wait for that to go up. Ah, brilliant. Very good. Today's sermon is entitled Healthy Body, Holy Purpose. And it's very interesting when I talk about health-related topics from the front, I always find that it's probably one of the more sensitive issues for people. There are quite a lot of different topics we could cover as pastors, and I think of the more quintessential, challenging topics, but when I do a health message, a health topic, I always find that we as people like to connect our food with our identity. There's quite a connection between the two, and so when you hear something from the front about health and how to treat your bodies and what to eat, sometimes we feel a little bit, you know, hard when we listen to some of those truths that I believe are in the Bible. And so to kind of temper a lot of those sensitivities, Pastor Daniel and I, we were thinking about this a few months ago. We said, why don't we practice what we preach before we preach it? So, Pastor Daniel and I, to some people's knowledge, have been on a special health diet for the last 3 months. And we will kind of share that story with you very briefly. I floated the topic with him, and he was very much on board with that. And so I want to show you some before and after pictures just to show you, and then we'll kind of talk about what went on, and then we'll go into the Bible and have a look. So this is a picture. I found that it was really hard to find a picture of Daniel and myself together for some reason. I don't know why. I just don't think we like to have photos taken of us. And so this is one of the photos that I could find. Now, this was last year sometime. You'll see another pastor in the middle, Pastor Steve Munswong, great guy. And for the last 3 months, we have been endeavoring on changing our diet slightly. Now, Pastor Daniel was already healthier than I was. He already looked for a vegetarian diet. He was kind of pushing towards the vegan diet a little bit, but he made it a challenge that he would go fully vegan for almost the 3 months. Myself, on the other hand, I'm a bit of a weaker person, and I do like my meat, and so I decided to try and transition to more of a vegetarian diet. And for a few weeks, we had a lot of videos that would kind of check in with each other. We didn't realize that during the challenge, we were going to be hosting a prophecy seminar. And as you know, if you ever try to change a diet and then something big comes along, it's really hard to kind of keep on track. So we did quite well considering. Now, I want to show you the after photo, just to show you the kind of difference between the before and after. So this is what we look like now. I don't know whether to take offense to that laughter or not, Daniel. You don't know what's under these clothes. No, it's definitely not that. That's for sure. Now, to give you an idea of what actually happened, though, is that we both started at about 118 or 117 kilograms, and today I'm 113, and Pastor Daniel's 113 as well. So that's something. We really wanted to like take off a lot of kilograms to be like a super great example of the health message, but we still believe that we did really good in that regard, and we are celebrating that win. Now, let me take this off the screens for you guys. when it comes to this idea of health, what's interesting is that, you know, we're one of the only Christian churches that preach about health in a biblical context. Do you realize that? There are not many churches out there, in fact, almost none, who connect the Bible with healthy living. And so what is interesting about this is that we have a beautiful opportunity to share a message which I believe is very biblical and will actually help us be better for our lives today. Now, I'm actually going to skip over a lot of what the health message is because I'm going to do it in a very short period of time. What I want to focus on is not the what, but the why. A lot of people already know what we believe as a church. In fact, if you go on the street and you introduce yourself as Adventist, there's really only two things that most people know about you straight away. Number one, you go to church on a very weird day. Number two, you're the ones who don't eat pork. Am I wrong? No. And that's usually the experience that you get. And so when it comes to this idea of a healthy lifestyle, I want to convince you not from a what standpoint, but more of a why. Why should we even look at this to begin with? And is there a biblical reason? Because the reality is, I stand up here not as a doctor. I'm not a biologist. I'm not an expert. We have experts around. I see Dr. Don here who would preach this message in a flash as well. But we would come from different points of view because my expertise is not in the health space, but rather in the biblical space. And so we'll be looking at that today. And hopefully, I will convince you that there is a holy purpose with a healthy body. But very quickly, what is the what? Let's have a look. So the diet that we as Adventists believe is biblical is split between three different categories. One is the ideal diet, one is the permitted diet, and one is the restricted diet. What is the ideal diet? The ideal diet is found in Genesis 1, verse 29, and of course, 3, verse 19, and they read this. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. And you shall eat the herb of the field." So what kind of foods do we have identified there? By the way, what period of time in history are we talking about here in Genesis? Before what? Before sin, right? One of them is before sin, by the way. Some people don't realize this. Genesis 1, we have fruits, grains, nuts, and seeds. Did you know that vegetables came after sin? Does anyone here like Brussels sprouts? Well, you have a reason to hate them. They were a consequence of sin. And so, when we have this picture of sin, there was also one thing that was not permitted, of course, was death. But after sin, there was death because sin obviously brings upon death. And so, the ideal diet was formed, but then when the sin came and changed the world, basically some of what was permitted also changed. God still wanted the ideal diet to be ideal, but he said, if you have to eat meat, then there are certain types of meat that you can eat. Now, again, I'm going to allow you to look at this in your own time. Look at Leviticus 11, but very quickly, the animals that are shared in Leviticus 11 are the ones that have a split hoof and chew the cud. Now, does anyone know what cud means? It's not grass. A lot of people translate that. Chewing the cud, and I'll try and make it not as disgusting as it sounds, but it's basically eating food, chewing it, going into the tummy, regurgitating, eating again. That's chewing the cud. And there are only a few animals that do that. The two obvious ones that we have in our diets are the cow and the sheep or the lamb. When it comes to seafood, so if it's pretty clear cut, has to have fins and scales. When it comes to birds, they can't be scavengers. What's a popular bird that we eat? Chicken. Yep. And insects, there are only a few specifically named that we can eat. One of them is the grasshopper. So you guys can go ahead and eat grasshopper. That's fine. Anyone free to do that? Want to do that? Apparently, they're really nutritious, by the way. But we can talk about it another time. Now, when it comes to that, we have the restricted foods. And I've just put here, very simply, there's a lot more to do with this, but the ones that are quite common are swine and most seafood. Now, I'm not going to go into detail too much about what you see here, but I do want to just counter a claim that a lot of people struggle with straight away, which is these laws were only given to the Jews, right? Leviticus 11 is part of a whole long list of rules that don't apply to us today. And in most cases, you're probably right. There are a lot of rules in Leviticus that show ceremonial laws that don't apply to us because we are not Jewish. So how do we know that the biblical restrictions on meat apply to us today? Does anyone know? It's a toughie. Let me give you an easy one. If you ever want to know whether something still applies today and does not apply to the Jews, you simply ask yourself, was that rule in place before the Jewish nation was even invented or came into being? And is it still around in the New Testament? In other words, do the laws apply to before and after the Israelites were a nation? So here's my question. When was the first time you find the separation of clean and unclean meats? The flood. Now, how many years was that before the Israelites were even a thing? Many, many years, right? We have a separation of clean and unclean animals before the Jewish nation even were a thing. That's a really good indication that this may supersede one nation's laws. We also know that further down in the New Testament, and again, I don't have enough time to do this, it does not overpower or change that law. Another one that we also follow as Adventists is the Sabbath. A lot of people believe that the Sabbath is just for the Jews. How do we know that's not the case? Because it happened before them. In fact, it happened at the start of creation. So you get a bit of an idea of some of the things that we know that still carry on today. Now, there is more to the health message that we believe. Again, I don't have enough time, so I'll show you very quickly. Ellen White and others came up with this very, by the way, groundbreaking acronym of how to live a healthy life. Has anyone seen New Start before? Yeah, this is very, very important. By the way, this was created, and in fact, we believe that it was something that was God-given, very early on in the 1900s, where nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and time with God, maybe not the last one, but the rest of them were not really encouraged as something that was good for health. Now, we don't realize that because we look at that list today and we go, that's a no-brainer. Who wouldn't go outside and have more sunshine? Who wouldn't get fresh air? Who wouldn't go for a run? That's good for you. But a lot of those values were not put into place until later. In fact, science has only been catching up to something that we have been preaching about for a very long time. So, that's the what. There is a whole long list of things that are included into this health message, which may be included in another sermon. But today, I want to focus on the why. Because I believe that the why is more important than the what. Because as Adventists, I think we focus more on the what than the why. A lot of us know what we believe. Many don't realize why. Let me give you some questions that people may ask you and I think we should answer. Number one, why should I follow this particular diet or living, healthy living, when you go online to YouTube and if you type in how to be healthy, there are a million different ways to do things. How many different diets are there? Right? You could do so many different types of dieting alone, and that's just nutrition. Why do I have to choose the one that has been around for 4,000, 5,000 years? Number two, what has this got to do with the Bible? This is a valid question because the Bible doesn't actually focus on health as much as we think it does. There are bits and pieces around that give us an indication of what not to do and what to do. But generally speaking, the Bible is more interested in your eternal salvation rather than how you live on earth physically. And when you look at that ratio, you go, well, why do we even focus on it in the first place? Well, I want to give you four reasons, and then we'll finish up. So the first starts with the Bible. So I invite you to open your Bibles. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. I've got it on the screen for you, but as I always say, nothing better than opening your own Bible. First Corinthians 6. 12 to 13, and I'll be reading from the NLT version. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual morality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. The first verse there is almost a concession. It's reminding us that what you eat will not affect your salvation. Can I make that any clearer, church? What you eat will not affect your salvation. A lot of the time, we can be very strong and we really believe in this message, but I want to make that very clear from the outset. This is not a salvational topic. But it does not mean that it doesn't have consequences. And what we see here, especially, we'll talk about it in a second about the consequences, is it says something very, very important. I must not become a slave to anything. Does anyone know what it means to be a slave to food? Has anyone ever felt that way before? Let me ask you something. For many, many years since the Industrial Revolution, we have been making food in factories and in labs. We have spent a lot of money on a lot of packaged goods that last a long time and preserve a long time. Are they better for you than what we get out of the ground? No. In fact, a lot of money is put into not trying to make the food nutritious, but to make it addictive. I know everyone in here has one vice when it comes to food that they do not want to give up. And I'm going to reveal mine today. Don't shoot me for it. Cheezels. Thank you. I need that support, please. Now, I looked into Cheezels. Has anyone looked at the ingredients list? Oh. there was actually a YouTube video, if you type in the process of making Cheezels. Millions and millions of dollars have gone into making it addictive. Nothing to do with nutrition. In fact, there's no nutrition in it at all. And in fact, I could almost make the claim that most packaged goods that have a long expiry tend to not be that great for you. You may have seen the experiment where a cheeseburger was left out for a year. Have you seen this? And do you know what happened to the cheeseburger? Nothing. There was a little bit of mold, maybe a bit on the meat. The bun was fine. The cheese was okay. That food is not good. Because what they said was that not even the bacteria or the insects thought it was food. And yet, we go and we get that food. Now, again, I do not want to demean, I do not want to bring down, because I am one of the first to enjoy some fast food, especially if I'm emotional, especially if I'm on the road, right? And a lot of us do deal with that. So let me just make this very clear again. This is not me demeaning people, but I do want us to realize that the food that we have in the world is not necessarily good. In fact, the rule of thumb is any food that is grown naturally doesn't have the same addicting nature. We see this in the natural world. Is anyone here addicted to fruit? Okay, don't put your hands up because you're disproving my theory. But yes, we can be addicted to fruit in a sense, right? But you feel full eventually, right? With a lot of these foods that we eat that are processed, we don't feel that full because of many different biological processes that are happening in our body. So I want us to just realize that the Bible says for us not to be a slave to the food that we eat. But at the end of those verses in 1 Corinthians 6, it says something very important. God cares. God cares about our bodies. And that needs to be the first thing that we realize, is that He really does care about our bodies. But why does He care? If you're still in 1 Corinthians 6, I want you to keep reading. We're going to go look at verse 19 and 20 for us. This is probably the more famous verse when it comes to looking after our bodies. Verse 19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your bodies. Does anyone realize that the body that you're in right now is not your property? You realize that? We're driving rental cars. We really are. In fact, we need to return these bodies eventually. So let me ask you something. Are you looking after your rental? Some people have Toyota Corollas, some people have Land Cruisers, some people have a sports car, some people have minivans. We have different sizes and shapes, but we are all expected to treat them well and return them in the best condition possible. Now, some people might say, yeah, but Pastor, we're going to get a new body. Why do I have to worry about the body I have now when the Bible says at the end of time, we're going to be given a new one, a better one, a one that never deteriorates, a one that has 8 packs of abs instead of 6, right? We're going to have a better body. Why do I have to worry about that now? Again, let me counter with you with some logic. God has also told us to look after the environment and the animals. Is anyone here thinking just because we're going to get a new earth and a new heaven, we don't need to look after what's around us? No. Right? We're supposed to protect this world, look after the nature, look after the animals around us. We also need to be looking after our bodies. And so we honor God with what we do to our bodies because they're not our property. Now, side note, some people worship the wrong thing when it comes to that verse of your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Some people worship their bodies rather than what is meant to reside in the bodies. Please be aware that there are extremes on both ends. There are people who don't care about the nutrition that goes into their bodies, but there's also the other extreme where it can almost be like a cult of fitness and diet, where all you're worried about is looking good and being healthy. And that can actually lead to being an idol of yourself. We need to find the middle ground when it comes to that. I always think of that joke, and please don't be offended, vegans, when I say this, but this is just one of those jokes that people know. How do you know if someone is a vegan? Because they tell you. It's true, because they're so passionate about what they believe because they know it works. But sometimes we can just go a little bit too extreme on one end. It's all about the why, and the why is because we do it for God's glory, not for ourselves. Now, talking about worship, this is the third one. Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Not only does God care about your bodies, not only does God tell you that your body is on loan to you, but now he says that the way you treat your body is an act of worship. Now things get a little bit more serious, and we actually see this on display in a very important story at the start of the book of Daniel. Now, as Adventists, we know the story quite well. We've heard it over and over again. And if you don't know the story, I can say it very, very quickly. Daniel and his friends from Jerusalem got invaded by the Babylons, and King Nebuchadnezzar, and they took the best of the best from Jerusalem and moved them to Babylon. And the story goes, Daniel and his friends were offered the king's meat and wine, and they decided they didn't want to have it. And so they said, give us 10 days of vegetables and water, and we'll see how we go. I wonder how many people will give me flack for this next statement. I don't believe the story is about the vegetarian diet. I think it's a secondary point. I think it's important that we preach it because it shows that eating vegetables is important. And by the way, if I go back to what I said before, the ideal diet we know was vegetables, nuts, grains, all of that. But I think that we miss a more important point, which is the story of Daniel is not about food, but more about worship. Let me explain. In Daniel 1 verse 8, it says that he would not defile himself with the food of the king. Does the Bible actually say that the meat that was offered was unclean meat? Does anyone know this? No, it doesn't actually say anything at all about the meat. We know that the wine is included, which would have been a part of the defilement, but really the more likely scenario is that he was offered food that was offered to idols first. And so this is why Daniel said, no, you know what? I'm not going to take this food because it is not what I believe is right. And so what Daniel and his friends were doing was that he was saying that he would stand up to the laws of God and those he knows is right versus the ways of the world, the ways of Babylon, the easy route. It would have been easy for him to just say, give me what you've got. I'm in a new world, a new land. But Daniel and his friends decided to stand firm and not go the way of the world. It was about worship. And how do I know this? Because if you read the rest of Daniel, guess what the rest of Daniel is about? Worship. Not to worship the statue. And not to go down the world's route when it looks so much easier. And so when it comes to that third point, we realize that the food that we decide to eat and the bodies that we decide to carry are a form of worship. It is meant to test your faith in God. Because it is easy just to eat whatever you want. It is easy not to treat your body well. But God asks us to do so. I have one last point. And then we'll finish up. It's found in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and then 11 and 12. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. So, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Now, I could do a sermon just on these passages alone. I don't have enough time to extrapolate some of these points. There are quite a lot of depth in these verses. But something I want to take out of this very quickly. We are called to be holy. Does anyone know what holy means? Separate, different, to not be like the world. So the world can see a better way and give glory to God. Now, most of the time when we interpret these verses, we think that it's spiritually different. We need to follow the Ten Commandments, and we need to read our Bibles. Maybe it means it's cognitively or psychologically different, that we need to think pure thoughts, or we need to guard our minds, or we need to look happier on the outside. Or maybe it's about how do we treat people. We need to treat people with kindness and love and respect. Yes to all. But why does this not apply to how we treat our physical bodies? Has anyone ever seen eating well, resting well, sleeping well, drinking well? Has anyone actually seen that in the context of evangelism? Not many. In fact, a lot of the times I have not really seen it in that view. But let me just show you something that you may recognize. It's been all over the news for, I would say, more than a decade. Does anyone know anything about blue zones? This has been one of the best evangelistic points for our church in the last decade. Because people, if you haven't noticed, are actually trying to be healthier. Do you know the next generation, Generation Z, they've actually almost stopped drinking alcohol. And they're exercising quite well. And they're eating well. And veganism and vegetarianism has kind of come into the light again. If you know anything about the blue zones, you will know that it is the five places in the world that have an exponential spike in life expectancy. Sorry, I just need a drink. And as you see with those five places, you see in Japan and Greece, Italy, Costa Rica, and what they've identified in those places is that the life expectancy is much higher than those around them. When it comes to the United States, though, this one is the most surprising because the general diet of the United States is not the best. In fact, us in the US are always kind of vying for the top spot of the most obese people per percentage, per capita. And so we don't have the best when it comes to health. But here, in this place of Loma Linda, they found a group of people who were living exponentially longer and living healthier. And does anyone know who they were? They're Adventists. In the middle of a Western world with, you'd probably say, one of the most processed diets in history in the US, we have this lighthouse of evangelism for health. And it's because they followed mostly vegetarian and vegan diet, and they followed the New START acronym and were just generally healthier. They weren't taking different drugs, they weren't doing all these different things, but they stuck to the basics. This is the modern Daniel story. People who said no to what the world was offering to them and decided to go down God's plan, and because of that, it became an evangelism to the world. So the four points of the why. God cares. Your body's not your property. What you treat and how you treat your body is a form of worship. And everything that we do as Christians is an example to the world. There's so much that I could talk about with this, but I want you to treat this message as an introduction to the introduction of health. I haven't gone very deep. I've kind of just brought this to the forefront to all of us. And my prayer is that we actually research ourselves what is healthy for the glory of God. There are things that I haven't explained or even talked about. There are individual benefits to being healthy, being clearer mind, having less disease, being happier, being better mentally, living a longer life. But all of those things all benefit us. What I wanted to share with you today is to show that what we do with our bodies is actually less about us and more about who? God. And that there is a holy purpose when it comes to living a healthy life. And so, on Turner, as we finish up, I want to ask you a question. If you want to dedicate your body to the Lord, if you want to maybe start today and say that you're going to live healthier and you're going to treat your body as if it's alone to you and that you want to give glory to God in everything that you do physically, I ask you to stand up now. Praise the Lord. And as you're standing up, we're going to sing our last song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you all.